This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that.
Yeah.
No hassle.
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
From him, and he carved out a Hall of Fame career for himself. Now you have Draymond, who Kuminga knows, plus Jimmy Butler, a guy who made himself into a Hall of Famer from being the 30th pick that nobody really expected to see much from. I'm very curious to see how Kuminga and Jimmy coexist, not only on the floor, but Spadone, almost more importantly, off of it.
No, that's the biggest question mark, right? It's Kuminga and Jimmy. And if you think it's a different duo, I'd love to see that. What's the matchup, or what's the, you know, that dynamic between players that you're most fascinated in, or do you think is most crucial for this team to get where they want to go, which is into the playoffs? Is it the relationship between Jimmy and Steph, which we've seen has been great? Is it Jimmy and Draymond, which I think everyone's expecting that to blow up immediately, which is, I just thought that was ludicrous. I think what we know from Jimmy in the past, if we're just going by history, give it a little of time first. The honeymoon period is going to last, I think, this season and probably next, and then it's whenever the contract's up, we'll cross that bridge when we can get to it. But it's been great. Or is it going to be the relationship between Jimmy and Jonathan Kuminga? Hell, you can throw Jimmy and Steve Kerr in there if you want. Obviously, his long history with Eric Spoelstra, them going at it. Steve Kerr very tight with Eric Spoelstra. Real quick on that, as you're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco and Odyssey Sports Station, always live on the free Odyssey app. Frank Isola, ESPN NBA Radio, not NBA Radio, but ESPN NBA Insider, I should say, 720 joining us. I'm sure he does some radio there as well occasionally, and Sirius XM, I believe, as well. When the news broke of Jimmy coming here, my first thought, Nick, was like, okay, that was a Joe Lacob, Mike Dunleavy move, specifically Dunleavy. Like, that's a guy he's going to vouch for. I don't know how thrilled Steve Kerr was about that move, given his relationship with Eric Spoelstra, being a part of his staff for the Olympics. They're very tight. I don't know about his relationship with the likes of Pat Riley. I'm sure they've talked. But did you think that Steve Kerr had a lot of hesitancy when he heard about this move and was first told about it?
I'm sure in the lead up to it, Steve's human like anybody else. I'm sure he's making the calls to all the people that he's built up relationships with over time. But Spadone, they knew, especially after Kevin didn't want to reappear right now, this was it. This was the move. There wasn't another move that was going to breathe life into the organization like this one.
Oh, you're saying Nikola Vucevic wouldn't have done that?
No. Hell no.
This fish is stinking from the head up.
He looks so cooked, by the way, when they play them against the Bulls.
I mean, just no.
The Bulls had a 20 spot, and they still knew they were going to lose that game.
They lost by 25 or whatever it was. What I would say,
no.
and it's funny thinking back on this now, because I have such a close relationship with so many of those Chicago guys. That's where I was for 10 years. That's where I came up. Give me the drop.
Yeah,
there
please.
We go.
So many close. Yeah. Excuse me. Him and Michael Jordan, just best friends, I guess.
No, not MJ.
Scotty, yeah.
Not MJ. But I say that because the night of Wiggins' first game here, I walk down the steps, and who's at the game? Tom Thibodeau.
Mm-hmm.
And Tibbs was there. This is when he was doing some work for ESPN, kind of in the gap year between Minnesota and when he came back during the pandemic later with the Knicks.
He did work for ESPN for a while. I totally forgot about that. That's
so
crazy.
I walked down the steps because I was in disbelief that Tibbs, who has a relationship not only with Steve Kerr, but is a longtime friend with Ron Adams, who, as anybody who's followed the Warriors knows, that Ron is really the secret weapon of that coaching staff, kind of behind the scenes.
The defensive guru is what we call him.
He is the guy that has so much of that respect from not only the coaching staff, but the players. Anyway, Tibbs is in town, and I walk down the steps, and I'm like, you got to be kidding me. Like, of all the people I'm running into in the Warriors locker room, I'm running into Tibbs. And he knew full well the ins and outs of Andrew Wiggins, and he knew certainly what was going on with Towns and everything else. But he has said as much over time. He always believed in Wiggins because he saw the talent, and he knew that if he could put it together, and it didn't work in Minnesota, but it certainly did out here in those few years that Wiggins helped them win that title. So out of all the people that Kerr could have talked to, if he talked to Spoelstra, Spoelstra would have told him, yeah, Jimmy's a pain in the butt at the highest level, but he's going to put in the work. What's Tom Thibodeau going to tell him? Jimmy will drive you out of your mind at times, but he's got the talent and he's going to put in the work. And at the core of Jimmy Butler, I can't stress this enough for Warriors fans who are starting to get to know him, starting to get to know his play as they watch and listen on a daily basis. Jimmy Butler is all about the work, period. And if you put in the work, you are going to find your way alongside him. It's why I laughed when people said, oh, it won't work out here. Draymond and Jimmy are going to be brawling and there's always going to be an issue. No, 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 no. Steph Curry is a Hall of Famer, one of the greatest players who have ever played. Draymond, Hall of Famer. He is the engine of this group, kind of the heart behind what Steph does every single day. Then you have the talent like Kuminga, who's young, trying to find his own way. I think it actually is going to mesh well together. Again, going back to a similar theme, is it going to mesh to a point where they win a title during this stretch, this year, next year? I don't believe so, but I do think that everything can push to a different point within that group where you go, not only did the Jimmy trade work, but he made those around him better.
There is a comp that you could use potentially that we saw recently and the Warriors saw firsthand of a team in the Western Conference that made a bunch of moves, made a lot of big moves, maybe didn't get the player back in return of a Jimmy Butler, but got rid of a guy that's pretty high profile. It was the Lakers a couple years ago. When they did a whole revamp of everything, they got rid of Russell Westbrook. It was Darvin Ham's first season. They brought in D'Angelo Russell, Jared Vanderbilt. I'm probably missing some other people there, but that was kind of the big trade, right? And that whole team shifted. Everything. And Austin Reeves took on a big role. Vanderbilt, his defensive prowess, was knocking down some 3-point shots. D'Lo was this kind of like a six-man role, but it was working. And it just sort of clicked. Now they got some breaks, right? And that's what's going to happen with the Warriors this year. They got a Memphis team without their best player, Ja Morant, that year. And Dylan Brooks, we were talking about Dylan Brooks yesterday. He was trying to go after LeBron. Didn't end well for Dylan Brooks in that first round series. And then, you know, the Lakers, who have always been a favorable matchup for them, is against the Warriors. They just have matched up well against them, whether it's LeBron, whether it's AD. And I'm very actually curious to see that next matchup they have with how Luka is going to get involved, because AD was that difference maker against them. So I'm very curious to see how they're going to respond in this second half as well. But I look at that Lakers team. They beat the Warriors. And it was a favorable matchup for them. And then they get swept against the Nuggets, who end up, they were just the best team in all basketball that year. They were just so good. I know Brian Windhorst, your colleague, of course. He called it the greatest sweep in the history of sweeps for the Lakers. Do I have that here still? I think I have it. It's right here.
The Lakers absolutely were terrific in going down in this series. I'm not sure I've seen a more impressive performance in a sweep ever.
That was that Lakers team. So maybe that could be the Warriors.
I would expect that from my boy Dave McManaman. I would not. I never even heard that one. Oh, Wendy. Oh, man.
It's all time. It was an all-time spin right there from the great Brian Windhorst. But to your point, like, I could talk myself into something like that for this Warriors team because I just saw it recently with the Lakers. Like, why can't this Warriors team do what the Lakers did? Now, you have to admit, the Lakers got some breaks there with some matchups, right? What if the Warriors, let's say, Nick, look at the standings right now and pull it up. What if they get the Grizzlies in the first round? Let's say that. They get the Memphis. Like, would you be shocked if the Warriors beat the Memphis Grizzlies in a first round series?
No.
Oh,
no.
There you go.
And Spadone, to exactly your point, and why, if you're a Warriors fan, you should have continued hope that's building over the course of the next couple months. There is no team, especially in the Western Conference, that wants to see a revitalized Warriors group with Steph at the head of everything that's going on, a motivated Jimmy Butler and Draymond Green. Nobody wants to see that. They know what they can be. The issue is, I don't know if the roster depth is to a point where they can consistently win in the playoffs. Not that they can't pick off a series.
Sure.
Sure, they could make a run to a point. I just have always believed that you get to the offseason, you refill the roster, you decide what you're going to do with Kuminga. Does he stay? Do you move him for another piece or two? We'll see. But there is no team that wants to see a Steph Curry-led Warriors group that has momentum and extra motivation. And if they continue to play like they played just before the break, they are going to be well on their way not only into the postseason, but to a place where you think, maybe they can do some damage once they get there.
Absolutely. And we're going to be joined by Frank Isola next. ESPN NBA Insider has been doing it for a very long time. Get his thoughts. Carter, he was there. You saw him at the All-Star game this weekend, correct?
Yeah, he was on Saturday morning in Oakland. I saw him.
Perfect. So we'll ask him about his thoughts over the weekend. I'm sure he's going to have some interesting things to say. How can we fix it? Can we fix it? Is it unfixable, unsalvageable? We'll get into all that. That's what's coming up on The Game, brought to you by the Inn at the Tides. Picture yourself in a cozy room by the fire, Nick Friedell, enjoying breathtaking views of Bodega Bay. This time of year is magical at the Inn at the Tides. Special midweek rates start at just $159 per night. Book your escape now at innatthetides.com.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
Ah, can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at Graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Big Time Rush, performing live in concert, playing every song from every episode and more. Big Time Rush, with special guests Caitlin Tarver and Stephen Kramer Glickman. Get tickets Friday, February 28th at LiveNation.com.
Trade your heart.
Shut up.
This is Oreo Suki from Oakland, California. And it's plain to see, can't change me, because I'm going to be a roaster for life.
Cookie? I can go for an Oreo cookie right now, Nick. Nick Fidel in studio all week. Jasky out in Hawaii. Some whole milk. Always the whole milk. Always the glass of whole milk. I got two kids, so you don't go 2%. You don't go 1%. When you have kids, you'll learn this. You got to go whole milk.
I'm on a diet right now, Fidone. My mom told me if I don't start losing some weight, she's going to kill me.
You got some protein in there. You're fine. Work it off. There's a good amount of fat, but that's all right. It's a healthy fat, right? No?
Yeah. Well, that's what I used to tell myself. And then, you know, you hit 40 and you go, I don't know about any of these healthy fats.
What was it, like the nuts, and then you got the avocado, right?
Oh, yeah.
No avocado toast. Wheat toast, though, right? You go wheat toast these days? No.
Wheat toast.
Yep, there you go.
All the same.
Wheat pasta.
Ay, ay, ay.
Well, they have those, like everything's protein now, I've noticed. If you go to, like, the supermarket, they have protein. They have protein pasta. They have protein pancakes now. Everyone's just trying to get yoked, I guess. That's fine. That's good. But don't sleep on the Oreos and milk, Carter. All right?
I love Oreos and
milk. Thank you. All right?
Wheat pasta should be illegal.
Yeah, that's gross.
Wait till you hit 40. Fellas.
Well, I'm like 8 years away from that.
Yeah,
so I'm
wait till you hit 40. Everything starts to shift. You're like, the whole milk and Oreos that were good a few years ago. So that'll hold the same way anymore.
You're like Steph. Like, you're hesitating just enough to where it's like, Steph, you got to pull the trigger on that, man.
Yeah, Steph, let it fly.
No, there you go. Nick, let it fly. Go double stuffed, buddy. Come on.
Get that bread.
Let's go. Literally get that bread. Chase that bread. Bye. Frank Isola, ESPN NBA insider, joining us here momentarily. Again, Nick Friedell in the studio all week long. We've been talking about, you know, the belief level in this Golden State Warriors team. We've been talking about All-Star Game, Jonathan Kuminga, what he's going to look like, the Jimmy Butler acquisition. We've talking about it all. 888-957-9570. What's your belief level in this Warriors team right now? And Jonathan Kuminga, you know, what were your thoughts on him, Nick? Because I love having you in studio because I can get your thoughts on everything. It's kind of playing catch-up, if you will. And by the way, another thing, you probably have to give up at 40 catch-up, I'm assuming, right? It's a lot of just wasted carbs.
Whatever. I literally went through the list the other day.
There's a list?
There's a list of, like, eat this, not that. And my entire diet was like,
it's a book, isn't
not
it?
That.
Absolutely incredible.
Yeah, not that.
When you get to that point, I know I can't be the only roaster out there who's hit some point and they look at what they're supposed to be eating and what they are eating and they go, oh, no.
I literally just turned off.
I'm not a system player. I am a system.
That's James Harden, who, by the way, the sneakiest fat guy in the history of athletes, but is not fat, but kind of is still. Him, Kyle Lowry, Zion, you just don't even hide on anymore. We're not fat shaming here. You know, I got the dad bod going. That's okay, everyone.
As we wait for Frank for a second, I have to tell a quick Harden story that is pretty comical.
Please, because I'm on Eat This, Not That, the website now, so you take your time with the story
Oh, God. That's a rough.
There's Krispy Kreme pop Pop-Tart donuts, guys.
Yeah, that's is that on the eat list?
That's on the do not touch list. But
so 18 Texas Roadhouse side dishes ranked.
I fly. Oh my god. I miss you guys. It is pretty good.
I've never been to a Texas Roadhouse, by the way, ever in my life. Oh my god.
So I go to Brooklyn from here. I'm in Brooklyn for like a week covering the Nets.
Oh, I remember the Kyrie questions that all popped off when you were asking them.
This is before, well, I maybe some of the questions started, but before any of the major fireworks. So we get to right after the new year, and they had a few COVID games that had to be rescheduled. So what happens is you go from Brooklyn playing the Spurs at noon on a Sunday to Brooklyn flying to Portland on a Monday playing that next night. It's the craziest back-to-back I've
ever
seen.
That is insane.
I hadn't slept much anyway because I was moving coast to coast, but I get on that flight. I fly to Portland. It's the night of the national championship game. It was a Monday night. So you're thinking, all right, because this is when Kyrie couldn't play in New York City. So you're like, oh, Kyrie, Kevin, and Harden will all be on the floor together. They'll all be playing. The game is like a few hours away, and we get the note. The Nets say James Harden will not play because of knee tendonitis or rest, sure, whatever they called it. So you go, okay. We get to the arena, halftime hits of the basketball game. Who is in the media room just chomping down popcorn watching the national title game for a few minutes? That would be James Harden.
Oh my God.
And from that moment, I was always kind of like, oh man, like here's one of the greatest scorers in NBA history.
Top 75 player anniversary team.
And the dude is unbelievable, but he is just chowing down popcorn in the media room just like anybody else on the second night of a back-to-back.
Jeez. But you know what? That's on brand for James Harden. The guy that once had the gummy bear commercial. No, the gummy worms. That's right. The trolley. He was sponsored by them for a minute,
yes.
I remember.
The beard gummies.
The beard gummies. That's what it was. The trolley, yeah. So he loves his sweets. I'm not mad at it, though. They're actually a really cool picture. I think Harden posted on his social. It was him, KD, and Steph all next to each other in the locker room. That was really cool because talking about the three of the greatest players of their generation, absolutely those guys, and the battles that all three of them had in a given series, right? Going back to those Houston Rocket days, they were great. And you know who else is great? Frank Isola, ESPN,
Frank,
NBA insider. Can't wait to talk
Hell
to this
yeah.
guy as he joins us on the River Islands guest line. All guests on 95.7 The Game appear on the River Islands guest line. Isn't it time for you to discover the islands, River Islands in Lathrop? Frank, how you doing, man? You enjoy the All-Star weekend here in the Bay?
Oh, good, good. How you guys doing? Nick Friedell is back in town.
Frank, they pulled me out of mothballs for a couple days at my old station here. Feels good to be doing something.
You know what, Nick? I went to Barclays Center the Saturday before Christmas. Maryland played Syracuse.
Oh no.
And I think at one point the score might have been 50-19, so I was sending a picture of the scoreboard to everyone I knew from Syracuse. I forgot to send it to you. Darn it. I still have the photo. I'll send it to you.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Frank, this is the worst Syracuse team of my lifetime. It is rough.
I feel badly, too. I actually covered Adrian Archie's the coach. I covered him, but he was in one of my first writing jobs was covering high school basketball in New York. And Red Archie was a big-time player back then. He was a terrific guy. And I feel badly. Maybe at some point they could turn around.
Yeah. I'm not holding out hope from what I'm seeing. But you never know.
You never know. Right. Well, you went to a Syracuse Cal game recently.
Yeah, Frank. Life is rough.
That's as low as
I was out here a couple years ago, or a couple weeks ago in Berkeley going to a Syracuse Cal ACC game. So,
It's absurd. I went to see those two guys from Rutgers, Dylan Harper and Ace Bailey play. It was early January. It was that traditional, Big Ten matchup between Rutgers and UCLA.
Well, Frank, maybe you'll see that. Maybe you'll see him in the Rising Stars game next year on All-Star Weekend. Yeah, am I right? Because apparently, it's the worst thing ever. Draymond Green just absolutely crushing Dalton Connect for some god reason. It's not his fault he was there. Crushing his own teammate, quite frankly, Trayce Jackson-Davis, saying he doesn't belong on the court with Steph Curry. What did you make of this past weekend? Because I know you were there. Obviously, there were some positives. I thought San Francisco, the area, maybe you can speak to this. I thought San Francisco, the city, and Oakland, the city, I thought came away some some positives here. Just from everyone was talking about it, the vibes, if you will. The game itself, the product, though. Just give me your thoughts on everything that was baked into this weekend.
Yeah, so I was there at the last All-Star game in Oakland. That was the Vince, everyone remembers that, for Vince Carter. And it rained every single day. I think the day we got on the plane to go home, that was all of a sudden the sun came out. But this weekend was tremendous. You know, the city looked great. You know, I love the weather from, you know, I mean, we have snow on the ground here in New York. It was in the 50s there. I thought that was tremendous. The people are great. The restaurants are great. So I thought for the city, it was a great weekend. It went exactly like I thought it would, which was to say I thought it was going to be a disaster. And it was. The only thing I wasn't expecting, which kind of made it worse, was the whole situation with LeBron not showing up at Saturday's practice, which he hadn't done last year. And then, of course, showing up on Sunday and announcing that he wasn't playing. So that was the one, you know, caveat. Like, I didn't like the format going in. I didn't like the idea. Like, for me, Sunday, you know, whatever you want to do on Friday or Saturday, and whoever wants to be involved, who, you know, whatever. The slam dunk, the three-point competition, the skills competition. But Sunday should be reserved for the best players in the sport. And to have, like, I wanted the G League team to win the day before. I wanted the G League players to be there on Sunday just to prove how absurd the whole thing was. So that I didn't like that. What I do find interesting is that Draymond is right about that. But of all people to be criticizing Adam Silver, it's like the league turned a blind eye when he assaulted Jordan Poole, for crying out loud. I mean, the guy could have been arrested. Charges could have been filed. They kind of turned a blind eye to that. They kind of turned a blind eye to even the use of Nurkic thing. And how does Draymond pay them back? By telling Adam Silver that his weekend was a disaster.
Frank, you live this every day with Scal on SiriusXM, and you've covered the league for decades. What do you think the fix is for All-Star Weekend if we all agree that All-Star Weekend isn't going anywhere?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing, I don't think it's about gimmicks. I just think it's about getting the players to try. And I've been saying all along, you know, just go back to the old format, East versus West, but expand the rosters to 15. So if you expand the rosters to 15 and the coach, when he meets with the players on Saturday, assuming all the players show up on Saturday, that would be another thing, too. If you can't make the practice on Saturday, don't even show up then. We'll just pick someone else to play in the game. But have the coach go to all the players, especially the guys that are starting. How many minutes do you want to play, and how many minutes can you give a realistic effort? I don't want to say you have to treat it like it's Game 7 of the NBA Finals, but you need a better effort. So the younger guys, like, for example, Cade Cunningham, Jalen Brunson, I'm sure they'd be fine playing 25 minutes. And if Nikola Jokic only wants to play 5 minutes and he's going to play hard for five, so be it. LeBron wants to play one quarter and play hard for one quarter, that's fine. Think about it for the baseball All-Star game. You know, you'll go to a game and maybe Shohei Ohtani only gets one at-bat. Maybe Aaron Judge only gets one at-bat. So to me, it's just like getting everyone out there, having them play hard for as long as they want to play. And guess what? Leave it up to Nikola Jokic and LeBron. And I'm just using them as an example. To tell their fans back in Denver, oh, yeah, I told the coach I only wanted to play 5 or 8 minutes. That's the gimmick. The gimmick is the players have to try hard and just expand the rosters to 15. All you need is 10 guys out there at a time out of the 30 to play hard, and I think there's a way that you could do it. And I would simplify the game a little bit. Go back, have the Canadian National Anthem, the U.S. National Anthem, have a good performance at halftime. The problem is, and we all love TNT and we love their post-game show that they do on Thursday, TNT made Sunday all about themselves. You know, it's Team Chuck, it's Team Kenny, it's Team Shaq, and they're honoring themselves. You know, they bring Kevin Hart out there. I knew that was going to be a disaster. Can we please make it about the guys on the court? Kevin Hart got more time than Jalen Brunson got, and he got voted on when he got the fan media player vote to start. He only played 8 minutes. Kevin Hart was on your TV the entire time.
Well, Frank, and we're talking to ESPN NBA Insider, Frank Isola, and they did like a eulogy for Inside the NBA. It's not going anywhere. It's just leaving TNT. The whole thing was so odd to me. I totally agree. And Carter, our producer here, he was there, and he kept texting us throughout it because he was in person, obviously, as you were. It's like, is this translating to television as bad as it is in person? It's even worse. I mean, the thing we came away from, the main overarching theme was a kid winning $100,000. You know, Mr. Beast, a YouTuber, was involved in that. No one else was. It was Dame Lillard and him. That was the coolest thing that happened. It was just so slow and drawn out. Just, I agree with you. Go back to the game. Yeah.
And TNT, and I, you know, we love the guys on TNT, but it's too much about them.
Yeah.
It's like we should be promoting the young players in the game, and we all know who Charles Barkley is and Kenny and Shaq, and the brilliance of them is really their post-game show on Thursday when they're kind of reacting to everything, and it's later at night, so, you know, it's like they're kind of, you know, unbuttoning their shirts, loosening their ties, and they're just, you know, having at it. It's like they're sitting in a bar like all of us do. We sit around, watch TV, we start killing everything that's on TV. They're doing that. You know, on Thursday nights. But for the All-Star game, it's like enough with them. I just thought TNT overwhelmed the entire telecast. And why did they need to bring Kevin Hart in? Kevin Hart is funny as like a slapstick comic in movies. I don't think he's that funny with his one-liners. You know, the game started, and they had him at a mid-court, and Tyler Hero is there. And you're kind of making fun of these players. And like in the case of Tyler Hero, he's a first-time All-Star. You could see him standing there. He was, like, awkward. He didn't know what to do. Why are you putting these guys? And Kevin Hart did the same thing with Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. And you could tell Shai Gilgeous-Alexander didn't appreciate it. Mm. You have these guys who are All-Stars. It's their weekend. It's not in that moment. It's not Kevin Hart's time to try out some lines on them and make fun of them. I thought that was a big-time miss.
Well, you mentioned Draymond Green, and, you know, for all his faults and all the things he says, he's a content machine here, Frank.
Yeah.
Because he said something on Sunday. You know, Draymond likes to talk, obviously.
He
said a lot. He crushed the NBA. He crushed the Rising Stars. This, everything. But he did say he thinks the Warriors can make a title run with the Jimmy Butler acquisition. They're 3-1 in the Jimmy Butler era. First off, your thoughts on the move when it happened? And your thoughts about Jimmy Butler and this team going forward, can they be legit contenders down the line here with 27 games left in the regular season?
Well, Nick mentioned him before, my radio partner, Brian Scalabrine, 7 to 10 every weekday morning, SiriusXM NBA Radio. I'll give a little plug there. But Brian had mentioned that for weeks leading up to a potential trade, and he said he thought that Jimmy Butler would fit in perfectly with the Golden State Warriors. You know, it's a three-point shooting team. Jimmy Butler can get in the paint, you know, can draw fouls and things like that. Plus, you know, he's a very competitive guy. At times, they seem a little undersized when they're playing. They certainly, I mean, I know against Dallas, both teams kind of played small. I think it's a good move for the Warriors from this standpoint, the age of the team, especially with Curry. You might as well go for it. I still kind of think the Western Conference is wide open. I know right now the way that Oklahoma City defends, they seem like they're tough to beat, but they also had the best record last year in the regular season. They got knocked out in the second round by the Dallas Mavericks. So I do think the West is a lot more wide open. I'd still need to see a bigger sample size than what we've seen thus far from the Warriors, but it does seem like it's given them a little bit of juice. But, you know, you look where they are in the standings. I mean, heck, look where Phoenix is. What is Phoenix? 2 games under .500 right now. Obviously, staying out of that play-in would be big for Golden State. I don't know whether or not they could do it, but I did like the trade. I don't like the way that Jimmy Butler handled it. And, I mean, I know Nick has spent a lot of time around Jimmy Butler. I didn't like the way that he handled his departure from Chicago, from Minnesota, from Philadelphia, from Miami. So, I mean, if we're just judging from history, it'll probably end the same way in Golden State, which will mean it won't end well. But when he is there and he is engaged, he certainly gives your team something.
Frank, the divorce always looks the same for Jimmy.
Yeah.
the breakup always feels the same. But as we stick on the Warriors here for a second, as you watch the way they've come together, do you buy that this group can still win another title? Do you think it is possible?
You know, they came out of nowhere and won that one a few years ago against the Boston Celtics. I do think, you know, if they were to play Boston this year in the finals, if they ever got there, that would be a tough one to beat. I just don't know if they have enough size. That to me, is the biggest issue with the Golden State Warriors. And, you know, the road that they would have to take to get to a finals is more difficult. I don't think it's impossible. I just don't think it's probable. Again, I do think they got better with the addition of Jimmy Butler, but it seems like every night in the Western Conference, you never get a night off. There's so many darn good teams. I know the Warriors still have to come east. I know they still have a trip where they play both. They'll be in New York for a while where they play both New York teams. So the schedule, to me, doesn't help them. I do think they can make a run. I don't have the faith in the team to win a championship, though.
talking to Frank Isola, ESPN NBA insider. And Frank, you were just mentioning it there, you know, the availability of some of these old guys. You know, Steph playing some back-to-backs. He's dealing with bilateral knee tendonitis. Jimmy Butler, obviously, he hasn't played a bunch this season, but older. Draymond Green, older, dealing with some calf issues. They're hopefully going to get Jonathan Kuminga back. So some youthful exuberance coming back. What do you view Jonathan Kuminga as a player? Is he a guy you could build around? Is he a future all-star? Is he a sixth man? How do you view Jonathan Kuminga and the looming question this summer about whether or not to pay him?
You know, it's interesting. It seemed like last year he was starting to make some strides, and then you know it just didn't happen for him. Now this year he's injured, and really the biggest issue with the Warriors, I think if you go back to when Detroit was dominating the Eastern Conference and they had that high pick, and when you know Chris Bosh and Dwayne Wade and Carmelo Anthony were available and they ended up taking Darko Milicic and how that set them back. And I think when the Warriors, you know, when they had all these picks, and of course the James Wiseman one completely backfired, when you keep missing on picks and you have high picks, it really kills you. It really does. Because it's never really about the pick you have. It's who you select with those picks. So Kuminga has got a lot of potential, but you kind of keep waiting for it. You see flashes of it, and then, you know, and then all of a sudden he's out for a while. So I don't know. I mean, they're going to be in a position where I think they're probably going to pay him, because I think everybody gets paid. And just like the players say, pay me now, and then I'll force a trade, or the team say, you know what, let's sign this guy. It might be easy to trade him if he's under contract. So for me, he still has a long way to go until I have faith that he could be a guy that you could build a team around. I'm not so sure about that yet.
Frank, Steph is Steph. He's one of the most beloved players in the league by other players who go against him every night. But as you watch him this year at 37, do you think he is still striking fear in the hearts of his opponents the way he did a few years ago?
I think he is, because if a game is close in the fourth quarter, he's still a guy that if he gets on a roll, you know, within 5 minutes, he can completely change the game. He certainly did it at the Olympics, you know, in the gold medal game against France. He did it against Serbia as well. You know, the difference is, you know, the supporting cast may not be as good. I look at, you know, LeBron in a lot of ways is the same way. It's, you know, as these guys are getting older in age, you want someone else to maybe carry the load on certain nights, and it doesn't happen often enough for a team like the Warriors. But Steph Curry, you know, if you're going to ask coaches around the league when they're playing the Warriors, they're going to be worried about Steph Curry. It's just he's still that good, and you know he's going to give you incredible effort, and you're 100% right about him being beloved. I mean, what a great ambassador he's been for everything. The city, you know, the Bay Area, the Warriors, the NBA, he's impossible not to like. And he's such, you know, he's everything that's right about the NBA, just the way that he handles it. And, you know, I'm sure not every day is great for Steph Curry, but whenever Raymond Ritter, the PR guy, asks him to do an interview, there's Steph out there, and he's just saying and doing all the right things. It's just amazing, you know, and it's you wish some of the other players would look at. Everyone's always so much worried about branding. Like, Steph Curry's brand is that he's just a good guy, and I think that resonates with the public more than anything.
Hey, Frank, man, we appreciate the time. Obviously, people think this is a dead period, but we got a huge, huge second half of the season in Golden State here. So appreciate the time as always, and we'll catch up soon.
Thanks, Frank.
Good talking to you guys. And, Nick, I'm going to send you that photo of the scoreboard. You know,
I can't wait, Frank, and I can't wait to see the other 10 that come up in the next month before they don't make the tournament.
I'll see you guys.
All right, thanks, Frank. That's Frank Isola, ESPN, NBA insider. See him on PTI. See him on Around the Horn. See him on his SiriusXM NBA show with Brian Scalabrine. And Scal knows his team. He knows Steph. He's coached Steph. He's been on this coaching staff along, obviously, with Mark Jackson back in the day. So he was in on it. And I was always in on this Jimmy Butler move as well. I think we underrate him as a player. I get everything that's happened. I get he's cantankerous. You know, in the locker room, he rubs people the wrong way. I know Tyler Hero was taking a shot over the weekend saying, like, yeah, you know, number 22, given how things went recently, I think anyone can wear it. I don't think it belongs to Jimmy. So, taking a little subtle shot there, him and Tyler Hero. Very interesting. And they play each other again this year, right? Doesn't the Heat? They play the Warriors still, I believe.
Yeah, there's one more in Miami.
Ooh, I can't wait for that.
That'll be a fun one.
That'll be very fun. But Jimmy the player, like, I don't think we realize the Heat teams he took to the finals had no business going there. He beat two championship-level teams. He's beaten the Bucks. He's beaten the Celtics. He's beaten teams he had no business beating. Bam Adebayo, who it feels like he always gets hurt in the playoff series, or I think we kind of overrate Bam a little bit too. Just he's a great name. He's a big player. He's got size. I don't know if he's ever going to be a two on a championship team.
The offense has never caught up to where people feel like it should be.
Correct. And yeah, like you've never heard like Max Strus. Who heard of Max Strus? Gabe Vincent, right? Duncan Robinson, again, Tyler Hero, another guy. I know he was a top 10 or maybe in the teens pick out of Kentucky.
I have another quick story for the panel.
Oh, please. No, you have the hand raised, so I appreciate that. Let's go to Nick here.
I didn't want to interrupt the flow, but it is a pretty classic one, especially with Jimmy.
Don't underrate Jimmy Butler, the player. The guy's taken two teams to the finals.
The content creator that is Jimmy had a handshake with every single member of the Heat.
As they do. LeBron does that. LeBron does that.
Steph's got a few. Draymond and KD had the double clap. The handshake with Max Strus, Mr. Sidoni.
Oh boy. Is loose.
They would look at each other, and I don't want to give it all the way out for the people that are watching us on Twitch and YouTube,
but please.
they would flick each other off walking to the floor.
Oh.
And it was a sign of respect.
Oh, but flip the bird? Or
flip the bird.
Okay, thank you.
Flip the bird.
Right.
So
flicking, I don't know.
They were the universal sign of, you know. But it was out of respect because Jimmy appreciated that Max Strus put the work in, again, the theme, every day like he did. And what's funny is you mentioned, who is Max Strus? Where did he come from? Yeah. Max Strus grew up in the Chicago suburbs. Who is he a fan of? The Chicago Bulls. Who is his favorite player? It was Jimmy Butler. So Jimmy is to a point in his career now where he has seen all these different guys, and they've looked up to him. Who does that remind you of? A guy named Steph Curry and Draymond. But Steph, Draymond, and Jimmy together are going to bring the best out of each other. But to what you were going through, who is Max Strus, who is Gabe Vincent, Jimmy Butler, in Miami especially, had a track record of getting guys to play at a higher level than we might have thought they were capable of before. As the second guy now, or as 1A to Steph's very much number one, now all of a sudden, I think he's in a role that is really going to suit him, especially. And Frank Isola just mentioned this as we were talking to him. Jimmy was asked to carry the load every single night. Bam never really became the offensive player, or hasn't yet, that people hoped he would be. With Jimmy as that guy who is having to set a tone but not having to be Steph every night, I think it's going to open up his game offensively even more than what we've seen in the past.
And Draymond Green over the weekend talking about Jimmy Butler giving the team belief.
Shout out to Jimmy Butler. Completely changed the belief of this team. You know, we started off the year great, and everybody believed. And then continued to believe even though it was going rough. But at a certain point, it don't start going right. You start to lose that belief. And we did. It's like Jimmy was like life support for me. You know, just came and injected a bunch of energy, a bunch of belief into this group. Because of the leader that he is, because of the talent player that he is, because of the guy and dog that he is. And, you know, like I told the guys, we can all fall in line. He's a great guy to follow. Like I said, that belief that, you know, he's brought back to his team. I'm sure you can see it watching. To me, when I'm watching, it looks different. When I'm playing, it feels different.
You know, belief can be contagious, right? And it could be positive or negative. You know, if the team started being like 1-3 instead of 3-1, maybe you're saying like, oh boy, now we're tied to this guy and this, we're under 500. We're not in the play-in, you know, but it's not that. They're 3-1 and the vibes are good. You can hear it in Draymond. You can hear it with Steve Kerr. You can hear it with Steph Curry. Joe Lacob is talking the talk over the weekend with our guy, Bonte Hill. Mike Dunleavy is very happy with this move. Dub Nation, there was a lot of people that were very questionable, not happy about it when it happened, Nick. And I don't know if it was Andrew Wiggins per se, because I kind of didn't buy it when people were calling it, oh, you know, Andrew Wiggins, he's just such a good locker room. I was like, I don't know what he's in the locker room. Like, Andrew Wiggins, the locker room presence, he was consistent. He was there. He showed up. I don't know if he was like a glue guy. Very good player. he's literally the polar opposite of Jimmy Butler when it comes to that stuff, right? Wasn't going to talk, wasn't going to give you anything, very reserved, he had a nice smile, obviously dealt with a lot of in his personal life with his father passing, dealing with that, being gone for an indefinite amount of time a couple seasons ago. And we love Andrew Wiggins. He had that run, and we'll never forget that run as a number two on a championship team, but he's not Jimmy Butler. He's not Jimmy Butler.
Exactly. Spidone, I'd also throw in there, though, as you were going through what Andrew provided here, he was really beloved by his teammates and the staff within, the coaching staff, but I mean like the people that dealt with him on a day-to-day basis, the PR staff, everybody appreciated the attitude that he brought. The reality, though, is he's not Jimmy. Jimmy, and Draymond used this word in a couple of the clips that we've used over the last few days, Jimmy's a dog in the best possible way. He is going to be there in the biggest games, and he's going to raise the level of his own game and what he sees the group needs. I think it does fit, but I agree with Frank Isola one more time in that, are the Warriors better? Yeah. Are they going to continue to improve through the rest of the season? Absolutely. Could they make some noise in the playoffs? Sure. Do I think they're going to win a title? No.
Have Dub Nation, have you embraced Jimmy Butler? Because you heard it from Draymond, you've heard it from Steph, you've heard it from the owner. Everyone is in on Jimmy Butler. Are you finally, if you were hesitant on this trade, are you all in on the Jimmy Butler experience? Or does he have more to prove? And what is that? What does he have to prove to you if he hasn't won you over yet? Dub Nation, 888-957-9570. And speaking of most to prove, Stephen A. Smith, First Take, your old colleague, give him the drop. Come on, give him the drop. That's his boy, Stephen A. Smith, won Nick Friedel's. Stephen A. this morning on First Take.
My best friend, Stephen A.
That's right. The Warriors have the most to prove.
Listen, when you talk about the most to prove, I would say the Golden State Warriors because Draymond Green just opened his mouth. I'm not offended. I'm not put off by it by any stretch of the imagination. I love the fact that he did it. He's made the latter part of this season, the last 27 games, very, very interesting because Jimmy Butler has been a welcomed addition. The 3-1 in the four games that he's been there, he's gotten to the free throw line 40 times. And people don't recognize when you think about Steph Curry and who he is. It ain't just his marksmanship. It's the fact that you need an oxygen mask. You probably got to be hospitalized and get some IV fluids or whatever, you know, after games because this brother got you running around with your head on a swivel and you need to survive after you finish up with him. Well, getting Jimmy Butler energizes Steph Curry because Jimmy Butler stops the action because he's so skilled to get to the free throw line. So that buys Steph Curry some rest to re-energize himself and do what he's capable of doing.
Do you buy that? Stephen A. Smith on First Take, the Warriors have the most to prove in this second half of the season. I know it's not second half, I'm just saying that. It's more than two-thirds of the way done. But this final stretch, I'll call it, of the season, the Warriors have the most to prove with this current trio.
No. No. They've got something to prove, and they've got to find this way to make it work with Jimmy. But Spadone, the Golden State Warriors' legacy is all the way secure. All the way. I don't care if they lose out, if Jimmy and Draymond are brawling at the end of the season, if Steph falls off a complete cliff more than what we've already seen at points this year.
I don't know.
The legacy is set.
Yeah, but you're going to remember the ending. That was not good at all.
But it was
really bad.
Okay, but my pushback there would be no ending with any great team is ever good.
Well, the Bulls have three-peated. Michael Jordan.
Yeah, the Bulls three-peated in a year where Jerry Krause came out and was like, this is it. Phil Jackson is gone. That was a complete disaster. I mean, that was the whole Last Dance. That was a mess. Shaq and Kobe in L.A.
Yeah, it did not end well.
Complete divorce. We can't stand each other. It's coming. The end is upon the Warriors. The reason you make the Jimmy Butler trade is to try and extend as much as you possibly can. That part all makes sense. But anybody who thinks that you can just win and win and win and win and win and win and win, it doesn't ever happen like that. So what I'm saying is in the moment, do I understand what's the point Stephen A. is trying to get across? Sure. They've got something to prove. They make this big move. You get Jimmy. Let's see what happens in the playoffs. Let's see what happens next year. My point on a broader spectrum is when you look at what the Warriors have already accomplished, what Steph has done, what Draymond and Klay helped build here for all those years, I don't care if they never win again as a group. The legacy that they've created is set. The standard for the organization is set. Nothing that happens moving forward is going to change that for me.
That for you, but for the fan base, I think getting Steph that fifth ring, just given what we saw in the summer, we know he could, and Frank Isola just spoke about that. He's like, he still fears Stephen Curry. There is still a fear factor with him. Ask Serbia, ask France, ask some of these teams this season that have been the opposite end of some of these Warriors loss, Warriors wins. I will say this. If Steph winning his fifth title, I think it's greater than a Niners Super Bowl. It's greater than another Giants championship. It's greater than the San Jose Sharks. Whatever other team in the Bay you could think of, Valkyries winning in their first year. I know you're a big WNBA guy. Like, the Warriors winning a fifth for Steph trumps everything. They would sell all of those if it meant Stephen Curry got his fifth. So I think there's a lot of pressure from the front office, from Dunleavy, from Joe Lacob, from Steve Kerr to try to put them in a position to do that. Because, not that you're underrating it, but I think we as a society just...
As a Bay Area society.
Yes, Steph is the guy. We love Jerry. We love Joe. We love Barry. Willie Mays, right?
Say hey.
Steph is one of one. He is the guy that you want to capitalize everything. And then again, this summer, you're saying they can make another move here potentially. We'll see if Kuminga's that move or something else. But I'm telling you, the pressure is on. It may not be nationally and you feel like their legacy's set, but if I'm Draymond Green and it goes bad,
It's going to end well whenever Draymond is like, yeah.
Well, I hate to go Hawaiian here as I keep bringing up Guru and going back to the punch, but like, that's going to be the lasting image of how this thing ended.
It very well may be. But what I would tell you, Spadone, is this. The conversation that you and I are having right now is the same conversation that you and I had 3 years ago. In that, everything that you said about Steph, the Bay wants him to get one more. The team desperately wants him to get one more. It was exactly what everybody said 3 years ago.
A little different, though, because Steph then, you can think this is foolish, but this is how fans fan now. Oh, he didn't have the finals MVP. Oh, he didn't win. Hey, if Kevin Durant wasn't there, they're not winning those titles. But I think there was a lot for Steph to prove after that as a top, like solidifying himself as a top 10 player, because a lot of people felt those were Kevin Durant's teams. Like, Kevin Durant was the finals MVP. He was the one hitting the big shots then. So I did think it was important for Steph, as his second best player on the championship run was Andrew Wiggins, who, as we know, is, you know, he's a one-time All-Star, and he's probably only going to be a one-time All-Star. That was a big deal for him and his legacy, I feel like.
By K-pop, right? if I recall correctly.
We literally had Sports Talk Radio at its finest. He was flagship of the station. He was elected as an All-Star. Steiny and Goo the next day, is he the worst All-Star ever selected in the history of the NBA? That was a conversation we were having.
Because
he fell off, right? Because the All-Star voting so early on in the process, and then those 2 months after he was announced, he was just not good at all.
Oh, no, that is right. But, Spadone, your point is very well taken about Steph. When you go back to 3 years ago, all those questions were out there. Can he win one on his own as the guy?
Yeah.
Can he carry whatever this group is with Wiggins as the second best guy? And find the fourth one. I think, and this ties into the overarching point, Steph winning that fourth one, winning the finals MVP, doing what he hadn't done, then going, and Frank mentioned it in the interview, winning the gold medal, hadn't done that. He hits all those shots, puts Paris and France to sleep, night.
The end. Paris, yeah.
I just don't believe that they need the extra validation now. Do they all want to win another title? Of course they do. Is that the goal? Of course it is. Joe Lacob, I mean, that dude is motivated. He's going to spend. He wants to win every game that the Warriors play. It's all understood. My point from a distance is you get that fourth title And truly, I mean, everybody loves to get on me for saying that's the bonus title. Anything from this point on, playoff appearances, making any kind of run, that is the bonus of bonuses.
It's a double bonus. We'll call it that.
The double bonus.
There you go.
Two shots, baby.
There you go. Shout out Sabonis, and shout out the injury report, because I think we're ready for that.
It's time for the injury report.
That really hurts.
Brought to you by Boxer and Gerson, Northern California's premier workers' compensation law firm, helping injured workers get their lives back for over 40 years.
Well, we got some orange and black news on the injury report. The Giants have their first injury issue of 2025. Catcher Tom Murphy, who is still on the roster, why'd you have to say that? Come on. Is dealing with back spasms and is set to undergo an MRI this week. The Giants do not believe that Murphy's back issues are serious, but seeing that they are light at the catching position, they are expected to be very cautious with his health. Be nice to have Joey Bart here still in the Bay Area, right? The injury report was brought to you by Boxer and Gerson, Northern California's premier workers' compensation law firm, helping injured workers get their lives back for over 40 years. What's coming up in the game is brought to you by Fremont Bank, here for you, here for good. Tim Hardaway, 8:30. It's Spadoni, it's Friedel. We're rolling, talking Jimmy Butler in the Dubs, and pressure I want to get into on the other side. Plus, I'm seeing this across my timeline. There's a certain star in the NBA that we're not talking about that could be dealt this summer. This team's riding high this season, too. I'd be very surprised if this happened. Let's get into that on the other side on the Morning Roast.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.